Romans chapter 1, verse 17, from faith to faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. All men know God. I truly believe that. I don't believe that there's the wildest aboriginal in any jungle that doesn't know an existence of a supreme being. The Bible says that he's shown himself to all men. But the difference is the just live by faith. And I like that phrase, from faith to faith. The late radio commentator Rush Limbaugh, if you remember, he used to say, talent on loan from God. Y'all remember? Anybody remember that? You don't remember Al Jolson? Maybe you remember Rush Limbaugh. I'd wonder if he actually knew the truth of such a statement. Talent on loan from God. Because that's the gospel truth. Our spirit being, as it were, on loan from God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, the Bible says that we were dust and we're going back to dust. But it says that the spirit that we have, it's a very unusual verse. You can look it up. It says that our spirit is going back to God. Our body's going back to dust, and our spirit is going back to God. Well, if that's so, how ought we to be? We're told that we're to be wise as serpents. You know, Peter was they called him an ignorant Galilean fisherman. They could tell just by the way he talked, like sometimes people from the South. Well, you're just an ignorant. I've been told that. Well, you've got to be just an ignorant Southerner. But if you read 1 and 2 Peter, and you really see what that so-called ignorant Galilean fisherman became, and what that so-called ignorant Galilean fisherman wrote, well, you couldn't get anyone with a PhD that could write that. And then the Bible says, you know, the Lord says in Matthew 7 that we're to know them, by their fruits. Well, how are you going to know that, them, unless you have a certain amount of discernment? That, in other words, they're different. And he said you'll know them by their fruits, and you have to know those fruits. And he said, you can't give that which is holy to the dogs. Well, everybody goes, that's real simple. Well, there's two things. There's two things involved. One is you got to know the holy. And the second thing is you got to know the dogs. And he said, cast not your pearls before swine. You remember? Okay, once again, you got to know who the swine are. Oh, don't cast them over there. Those are swine. And then you have to know your pearls. You see, you can't, we've spoken of this somewhat before, you can't come out and be separate from that which you don't know. And that's a huge problem. It's an extremely serious problem, and especially in religion, because we've allowed a great distortion of the Word of God. I call it a feminization of the gospel. We have feminized the gospel of Christ. We feminized God. We've watered it down, you see. Is that spoken of the flaming fire, the wrath, the destruction. We've removed hate from the lexicon of God's word. You know, I had a falling out with Spurgeon this morning. Hope you know who Spurgeon is. I had a falling out with him. He didn't like that Jehu said, get on my chariot and know my zeal for the Lord. And I've preached that many times, because he said, anybody tells you they have a zeal for the Lord, they really don't have a zeal for the Lord. But you have to know the time. You see, Jehu was at war. He was at war. And so I got to reading that message by Spurgeon. I looked it up. I said, I want to read that message by Spurgeon. And Spurgeon said, let the only fire you know be love. And Spurgeon said, let the only sword you have be the Word of God. I find that contrary to Scripture. Because that fire Jesus is coming back with in love, and that sword he told us to buy in Luke 22, isn't the Word, well, it's the Word of God, but you know, you understand what I'm saying. He didn't tell us to go buy a Bible. You see, the Jesus of the Sermon on the Mount, he both called preachers vipers, and he actually scourged them in the church house. Made a scourge of whips. Okay? And this is the guy that had preached, turn the other cheek. And he told his followers to sell their garment. You know how important a garment was in that time? Sometimes it was the only they had was up on their back. And he told them to sell it and get a sword. A sword was more important than a garment. Today you might say a 9mm or whatever your choice of weapons is. And this Jesus said, turn the other cheek. In Luke 18, you remember they slapped him. It says with the palm of the hand, slap. He didn't turn the other cheek. You have to know the time. You must know the time. You got to know, and I like this illustration best in the whole Bible. You got to know when to hit the rock, smite the rock, and when to talk to the rock. Because the difference is extreme. It cost Moses a trip into the Holy Land. Because when God said, speak to the rock, he smote the rock. Now, there was a time God said, smite the rock. And that's why we were having that conversation about the difference in children growing up. I think we sometimes do we forget that we serve a living God. My dad was the same guy his whole life, but he didn't always act the same. Sometimes he's mad. Sometimes he was glad, you see. This word is a living word. It's living. It's not a static idol. And that's where we get into trouble. We don't know the time. And what God might have me do might be vastly different from what he'd have you to do. As I spoke to a man this morning on the phone, you know, Jesus, the Great Commission, go preach to all the... He told that to 11 guys. Did he tell it to you? I don't know. Only you know that. And so for a preacher to stand up and go, oh, he's talking to you. Well, it wasn't long after that he sent the apostles out and he said, by the way, when you go out, don't preach to the Gentiles. What? No, don't preach to them. And don't go into the part of town, don't go into that part of town where the Samaritans are. That's how specific that he was, and especially with the Word of God. He gives gifts, as we spoke, severally. Different gifts. We're not all the same. We're not all teachers, not all apostles, not all, you see. And I've preached on the body for so long. We're not all the same in form and function. Thank God. And that's why he uses that body to illustrate. A toe is not an ear. Man, I don't know any two body parts that could be more different. But those individual body parts make up the sum of the whole. And I've preached on the body for so long and so many times. And that the body parts as such individually. And so I ask you this morning, what's your part? He said from faith to faith, the just live by faith. What is your part? Your contribution. First of all, to this body. And as God would have it, we've got what I consider our entire body here today. Both here on this phone and in person. This is our body, you see. This is our body. The money that that this ministry has belongs to the body. Always has. And the acts that we do, the life that we live, it has to do with the body. So what is it that you do that helps this body? Because don't need a body part. Don't need a body part that's of no use. You know, many people believe in an appendix. A lot of people have that. I never had mine taken out. Maybe some of you have. Because they can't find the use for that thing. They think it was left over from the dining, whatever. But they can't find a use for it, so they just take it out. Well, in some sense, that's what God does. He'll lop it off. If it's not bearing fruit, he lops it off. I'm reading a book. Some of you know are familiar that I've started this book. And it's all about the total civil and moral good for a society. As the guy says, he says, you know, I'm not a theologian per se, so he doesn't quote scripture, but he believes in a religious political system, you might say. In other words, there has to be a certain moral code to a society. And an illustration that he uses is, it's so simple. He said something so simple as a breastfeeding mother. He said, because that's good for the health, that's good for the body, it's good for the society, because that child is nourished and is healthy, and so it doesn't cost me anything, and it doesn't cost you anything. You see? How many kids now do we have to feed? We're all feeding thousands of children. And by the way, I said this is for another message for another time, but all my body parts are pretty much the same color. How about that? And all my body parts are like-minded. All for one common good, and all for life. Amazing what we can learn from our own bodies. He said, doth not even nature teach you? That's what he said. And it does. I read something that I thought about the girl and I. Have you ever apologized to yourself? So, the answer is yes, but that's another sermon. And we were created after what kind? After his kind. That's what he said. Created in God's image. And you and I believe, our body believes, that you're either a wheat or a tare. Although they're trying to fit ConAgra in there today. And we've got a lot of GMOs, or they think they're GMOs, I suppose. And that's how we are. And sadly, that's how we are today, not only in religion, in society, even our progeny. Everything has become this GMO. Sadly, from the pulpit. Even our Bibles. As Pink said, another gospel. You know, one of the major issues in the modern gospel, and I've preached on this, I know you'll remember it from the tabernacle, what happens when you put new wine in old bottles? Or if you sew an old piece of cloth into a good piece of cloth, you see? You end up with what? That which is really twice dead. And that's what happens in religion. We declare them, you know, the Catholics did that, convert or die, convert or die. Well, what do the Baptists say? Convert or go to hell. Convert or go to hell. You see? But I'd ask how that is being grafted into the vine. I should preach more on that. I don't. It's one of the most important things in all of Scripture. Being grafted into the vine, because that vine is Christ. And how can you be anything but and be wheat or sheep? Now you think about that. How do you know them? By their fruits. And fruits aren't necessarily works. Have we done anyone for? I never knew you. You see? My little toe appears to do very little. Matter of fact, I seldom think about it. But every once in a while, he makes his presence known like you can't believe. And there's a shout from the body. Oh! My little toe. Oh. Funny bone? Oh, I didn't know I had a funny bone. And it ain't funny. Is it? You see? You see, there's a bona fide spirit of God, a bona fide spirit of Christ. There's the Holy Ghost in those that are His. With that, I would ask you, have you ever had trouble loving the brethren? That's an interesting question. Have you ever had trouble loving the brethren? Now I'm going to give you my answer. I don't know what your answer is. I have not. I have never, ever had trouble loving the brethren. It's as natural to me as a mother to a child. I have never had trouble loving the brethren. Now, some people are going to hear this. And so I think about, well, what about the sign people? Well, my answer to that would be, you think that's the same spirit? If you think that's the same spirit that we have in this body, I felt closer to drunkards. Because that's a very contentious spirit, as none I've ever encountered, saved or lost. As I say, a toe is not an ear, but there's no doubt that they're on the same body. That they're one. No doubt. And finally, the Lord said we're to be laborers among a harvest. And as we say in sales, everyone's a blank check waiting to be filled out. And they are. Anybody that's in marketing or sales knows that. Now, not everyone is such in the world, but there's one thing that you and I know. If you've been saved, sinners are in need of a Savior because Christ came to save sinners. That sinner is a very important term to me. I equate it with the lost. But you see, as Brother Charles, you say, goats aren't lost. They're right where they're supposed to be. But sinners, or who the Bible speaks of as sinners, are sheep and wheat. They're lost. They're on the wrong path. But these goats, for the most part, they have no law. Because the law reveals sin. And even the religious ones, as we spoke in Matthew 7, they weren't lost. They were religious. All this is not as hard as it may seem. Those that are grafted, converted, redeemed, and placed in the body are just that. They're part of the body. You can't change that. In the natural, I never wondered, is this my mother? Did you? I never wondered, is this, you did? I never wondered, is this my father? My brother? Yeah, I know. And I look out among you, those to whom I speak today, all of you. And I love you as one flesh, or I wouldn't be here. I'd rather be playing golf. No, I wouldn't. I'd rather be here. But I like golf. But I'd rather be here. Now you get that and you examine your own self. And this is the reason, because such a love sets that a variance between a man and his family, including his kids, his father, his mother, his brother, his sister. We know that more than most in a lot of cases. Against his natural family. And especially in the church. And if that natural family, and I'm familiar with most of your natural families, is not of the body, they'll bring nothing but strife and division. It's an impossibility that that not be so. And I've had those in my own life, in my own family. And they did all they could to keep me from this body. You want your peace back? Cling to the body. Faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. If you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. I'd like to read you verse 46 through verse 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. That's as glorious as heaven itself. It's a way for you and I to get through this world. Paul was all about the brethren. All about them. At all costs. At all time. We know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. Not mom and daddy. Not brother and sister. Who believes that I'd hang out with those that would speak badly of this body? As Merle Haggard said, you can say what you want about me. It doesn't bother me. I'm a crusty old guy. But you say something about the sheep, about this body, you're on the fighting side of me. Just like you would be about those children. Or Jeff about his children. You can't serve two masters, and you can't serve two bodies, and you can't serve two families, and you can't serve two churches. You can't serve two of anything. Because James said that's always confusion, and it always is. It always is. Choose you this day whom you will serve. My choice was made in Christ. You know, the rest through all these years, I was talking to somebody the other day, they just fell off the vine. How many have we had come through recently? I didn't push or pull. I knew what was going to happen. I've seen this thing over and over and over. And some of them stayed for years. But then something came up and they left. They were offended, and they were offended, and they were normally over family, almost always, you see. And the body rejects those parts, because the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith. You might say from faith to faith to faith to faith. Anything not of faith
is sin. That's faith.
And I don't know a more extreme time in our history, when we need the body. I feel like that you and I are sitting in the Alamo right now. God gave me that witness years ago, the Alamo. I know people say, oh, it's not yet, it's coming. It's coming. And it's not going to be pleasant. But we have the body. My prayer all week's been, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. The just shall live by faith. From faith.